I'm on the edge of a migraine headache, and for me, it's not just a headache. I have ocular migraines. I have been known to lose my vision before. So if I vapor lock up here, don't panic, because it has happened before. Just want you to know that in advance. You'll know it when you see it. If you'll join me in prayer, please. Loving Spirit of reconciliation and transformation, fall afresh on us. Open our hearts and our minds to your movement. Help us to know why we are here. Help us to get the whole story. Help us not to stand in the way of others. And help us to know that relationship and community are far more important than any rules used to create or form them. And grant us an awareness of your presence moving in us, around us, and through us. In your many holy names we pray. Amen. Heather and I have often been on the regular neighborhood route for Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses. Now, our doorway is a veritable interfaith dialogue in action. We have a rising sun. We have a Celtic cross. We have an Irish blessing, we have a Jewish mezuzah, and a tiny Buddha there, although I think a well-meaning squirrel might have carried that last one off. Anyway, this is our way of letting our doorway speak. All are welcome. Whenever travelers knock, before they can say much of anything, I ask if they need water or want mosquito spray. Then Heather comes up and I introduce her as my wife. And when they begin a religious dialogue, we politely listen. Now, one Mormon couple questioned the presence of our mezuzah, although he called it a Medusa. Now, I explained to him what it was, that it was a Jewish holy item, and that it contained a small scroll within, upon which is written the Shema Yisrael, a Jewish prayer. Hear, O Israel, Yahweh, our God is one. He asked if we were Jewish. Heather piped up and says, no, but we follow a Jewish carpenter. One of the Mormons asked, really, who? The other faster thinking one shook his head and said to his companion, Jesus, for goodness sake. Now, we continue the conversation until they speak of something that I disagree with, and that right there usually involves something about us going to hell. Now, I will stop them and tell them that we have differing views on perhaps many things, but I tell them there are also so many things, so many more things upon which we surely agree and can share. One, that it's a beautiful day. Number two, there's beauty in this world. God is great, breathe deeply. And we are all working to mend the world. And so let us rise, smile, and wave to one another across the walls that the world has put in place to keep us apart. The ground upon which we meet and stand together is holy ground, a place where you and me become we. What is it that Rumi, the Sufi Muslim poet, said? Out beyond ideas of right doing and wrong doing, there is a field. I will meet you there. I know my objective in life, and I do not get hung up and the mechanics of achieving it. My objective is to find the common points of connection, not the places of difference. My goal is to find common ground, holy ground. My goal is to know my siblings, to see divinity, to see God in their eyes and through their eyes. The more I know of how others see and experience God, then the more that I know of God. The more I know about those whom the Creator has created, then the more I know of the Creator. All of the great diversity. It's that simple and it is that complex. We live in a world increasingly fragmented, one divided into tribes and groups, with conversations punctuated by shouted accusations and clenched fists. Jesus said, every dominion divided against itself is brought to desolation. Every city or house divided against itself will not stand. Jesus said that in all three synoptic gospels. Matthew 12, 25, Mark 3, 23, and Luke 11, 17. All three Gospels, because it is that important. Every dominion divided against itself is brought to desolation. Now, even the Christian church squabbles today about this and that and the other, about who belongs and who doesn't. Even taking votes, exposing our ugliness, our mean-spiritedness, our general lack of humanity for one another, because we have devolved into division, struggling to find what we believe is moral high ground instead of seeking to gather together on holy ground. Feeling righteous and right instead of seeking right relationship with one another. How do we stay civil in a society that increasingly practices incivility? Incivility is a means of communicating with one another. Louder and louder, ugly signs, childish name-calling, petty insults, and threats so packed with hyperbole as to be ridiculous. In some respects, I think we've lost our collective mind, falling victim to groupthink, having lost our ability to think and make sense on our own. In the midst of all of this, how on earth can we think and make sense of things? How on earth can we hear and be heard? Today's pericope tells the story of a very critical moment in the early church. This is before they were even called Christians. Which, by the way, was not something that they initially called themselves. It meant little Christs. Little Christs. And it was a name called them by others as an insult. Oh, you're just little Christs. And that was the name they called them, Christians. What did they call themselves? They called themselves saints, and they called themselves followers of the way. That's what they call themselves. And so this time in the early church community was a time of tension when there were Jewish followers and then these others, these Gentile followers. Gentile, it means non-Jew, or more strongly, heathen. Not us, but those other people, those heathens. Now, as big a divide as we have in our church communities today, this one back then was bigger. And it was much, much more complicated. Issues that involved ways of life and associations. Associations with those who were considered unclean. Unclean by the pure and by the righteous. By those who thought themselves just plain right. Which then means there is a wrong. As well as the forbidden nature of getting together with those who are different from you. To spend time together, to eat together. Which is what we do in church communities. Spend time with those who are different from you. Back then they also faced the question of exactly what one was able to eat and not eat. By the way, most of the beasts that we have up here are non-kosher. which means that they, according to Jewish dietary restrictions, were not meant or able to eat. Jewish dietary restrictions were and are a very big deal. They are very much a part of Jewish identity. It's called keeping kosher. Any violation of them usually causes a gut reaction of extreme opposition. That's why when Peter went off and then returned, the community of Jewish followers, of which he was a part, took issue with him. And they became upset with him. There was anger. And that was the request for him to justify himself. What's this about you hanging out and eating with those heathens? That's what we heard. Explain yourself. Now, there are times when I am asked to explain myself. So I can really relate to Peter here. It can be a very uncomfortable moment because often there's a long story involved. Now, they were upset because Peter has done something that on the surface seems absolutely inexcusable, totally at odds with their faith tradition and beliefs. And all too often, a go-to response to something like that, that is being questioned regarding one's actions, is to get defensive. But Peter didn't react. He did not respond in a defensive manner. Defensive manners generally polarizes people, puts us at opposite ends of the spectrum. And also, Peter did not take offense at being queried so strongly. And that can be a challenge, too. Both being defensive and taking offense have a way of building walls between people. Stone by stone, as folks seek to defend and fortify their opinions and harden them, and those who feel offended, who feel hurt, often feel the need to strike back and fight back. And then everybody gets punched, and it's just not pretty. So, with great admiration, what did Peter do? Peter took a deep breath, and he explained the whole thing step by step. And I got to tell you, when I read that, and read that in multiple translations, it really comes across. Peter explained the whole affair at length. You can tell that it was a long story, and then he might have went, okay, here we go. He told the story of his own journey, to being able to eat and sit with the Gentiles. And that's important because when we are in a different place, it is important for people to know how we got there. This is often what we do in my other organization, the Transgender Education Association, where we have individuals talk about their transition, not just talk about it, but how they got there, to talk about their journey and to tell their story. That often has a way of opening minds and touching hearts. Now, Peter explains his vision and the fact that something was repeated three times. That highlights its importance, that God's creation is good, that what has been created clean is not profane. And profane comes from two Latin words, the first pro, the second fana, meaning simply outside of the temple. That's it. When you begin to think God is on your side or in your temple, you must remember that God's embrace is broad. Even if you think about the circumference of the earth, which is something like 24,900 miles, that's a broad embrace. But even when you think about the entire universe, which is measured in parsecs and billions of light years, that's a broad embrace. God's embrace, I can promise you, is infinitely larger than you are comfortable with. Peter was told not to make any distinction between us and them. And that's powerful. Because when we find ourselves in that us and them place, it's dangerous. Peter was told not to make any distinction between us and them. And by doing so, Peter made way for the Holy Spirit to fall down upon all of them. All of them. Ruach HaKodesh, the holy breath of the living God. The Hebrew word, ruach, meaning wind or breath, is a feminine word. And hence the translator today has used she in reference to. Something which may cause an unsettling gut reaction in some people and a reaction of pleasant surprise in others. Now, Peter tells them God gave to them the same gift of the Spirit that God gave to us. The very same gift. There is no distinction between us and them. And who are we to stand in God's way? Who are we to stand in the way of God? Now, our second reading today comes from the book Mighty Stories, Dangerous Rituals, Weaving Together the Human and the Divine. It was written by two professors of theology at the Catholic Theological Union in Chicago, and it is one of my most read books. This is one of the reasons that I like real books instead of digital books, although I have both of them, but this one is loaded with notes and highlights and all kinds of things. As a matter of fact, when I came up with the reading for this Sunday, I got exceptionally distracted by all the notes that I'd written in here and found some really good stuff. Now, in the first line, they say the stranger is the other. They are our future waiting to happen. The new world and the lesson that looms on our horizon, that's who they are. So it was in the story that we heard today, those who were present and willing to be surprised, open to the movement of the Holy Spirit falling down upon them, the strangers who open the doors for we Gentiles to follow the way, to follow Jesus, a Jewish carpenter, to be embraced in community with the very different believers of Judea. From thus came the survival of the small fringe group who did indeed follow a Jewish carpenter. And in that, I believe there is hope for us, hope for our future. I want to ask you a few questions. Who is the stranger from which you have much to learn, perhaps the most to learn? The one you are afraid of? The one you really don't like? The one whom you may thank God that you are not like, nothing like? Who is your other? Who is your them? Are you willing to enter a space of reconciliation, a place where you have never before been, in order to transform us and them into our? To transform me and you into we. And when we think about it, the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray is a communal prayer. It is not my Creator, who art in heaven. What is it? Our. Exactly. It is a communal prayer intended to be prayed by community, intended to remind us that we are meant to be in community with one another. We are so deeply divided these days. Our world is increasingly fragmented, separated into sides of us and them. And the dangers of dividing us into sides as a people, as a church, and as a nation, is that in attempting to unite us again, the pieces may no longer fit together. Certainly not comfortably anymore, because we are still struggling together with the echoes of our own civil war, for goodness sake, that ended over 150 years ago. Divisions of us and them matter, and they can leave a mark. And we have to be careful with that today. because we can be doing damage that cannot easily be undone. Too many people neglect to consider that there will need to be some form of reconciliation at some point. Those who stand apart will need to come together, and healing must take place if we are to coexist together. There are many stories of others in the Bible, and one of my favorites is that of the Good Samaritan. Samaritans were the others of their age. They were the others. They were marginalized and they were kept at arm's length. When the Samaritan stopped to tend to the stranger's wounds, so the Samaritan was healing the wounded stranger within himself, wounded by the society in which he had lived. By having the courage to help and heal the wounded stranger, so the Samaritan was having the courage and the love to help heal himself. And what is love but a conversation with humanity, with nature, and with God? May we always remember the stranger, the other, is no stranger to God. We and the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgendered, intersex, queer communities and our allies are often viewed as those other people. But we must remember that even others have others. Yeah, can I get an amen?
Amen.
Think about if you are standing in the way of another. Are you trying to keep God from others? Are you trying to get in between someone and the movement of the Holy Spirit? Who are you attempting to God block?
Oh, you went there.
We're MCC. We are MCC. What God is really saying in the midst of all of this is that relationship is more important than any rule or law made to create it. I'm going to repeat that again. Relationship and community is more important than any rule or law made to create it. And the Holy Spirit will come down where she will. Out beyond places of right doing and wrong doing, there is a field. And may we all journey together to meet in that field as one. May it be so.